Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm looking for something that's going to break my heart.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. You'll get three new interviews sent your way every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you can keep up to date with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Of course, you can grab us anywhere you get podcasts from, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests on lately, including Kelsey Asbel and Finn Wittrock from the Netflix movie Don't Move. They were just here. John Cleese of Monty Python, Black Francis, Frank Black, Charles, whatever you want to call him, from the Pixies, the cast of Shrinking, Tony Hale, you know him from Arrested Development and Veep. He's back in Woman of the Hour with Anna Kendrick. We talk with Depeche Mode, Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, Les Claypool from Primus, and Maynard James Keenan from Tool both join me for the 1,000th episode. Big Sean was here, Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac, Thomas Lennon, Julius Stiles, Heather Graham, Colin Greenwood of Radiohead, The Offspring, Brian Ferry, the cast of What's Inside, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with one of my favorites, Kate Siegel. She has a lot going on. First, we're going to talk about her leap into the director's chair for the first time on VHS Beyond. Of course, known for her acting work in horror, she's going to share how her husband, director Mike Flanagan, convinced her to take on the challenge, and she'll dive into the creative process behind her VHS entry, blending sci-fi, body horror, and found footage, of course, in a truly unique way. And she'll tell us the type of director she wants to aspire to be. A little hint, think Guillermo del Toro meets Ridley Scott, but I'll let her tell the rest of that story. She'll also tease the upcoming horror comedy Damned If You Do, her kid-friendly horror series Dark Corners, featuring a Stephen King-written episode, and collaborating with King himself on The Life of Chuck. If you're curious about what's next for Kate Siegel as a director, well, let's do it right now and hear all about it. It's Kyle Meredith with Kate Siegel.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. I feel like we could talk about so many things because you're typically busy, but from what I understand, like, things are really, I don't know what they feel like right now, but we're going to hit on some of this. But let's start with what's immediate, and you're part of the new VHS series, right? VHS Beyond, right?
Yes, VHS Beyond. It's my directorial debut. It's my first time picking up a camera, and I had a blast.
So let's start there, because this is the anthology series. I think they said it's like the seventh or whatever time coming out. Like it's been around for a while. I know there are probably certain rules involved in the VHS universe. Like, how did you get involved?
Well, what happened was VHS, the team, and Josh Goldblum called my manager, my longtime manager, Brittany McDade, who I love dearly, and was like, hey, is Kate interested in directing? And Brittany called me and I said, no, I'm very tired. It sounds like a lot of work. I'm good, thanks. And I'm sure she went back and said, oh, you know, Kate's a little booked right now, maybe. And then VHS came back a couple of, I think, days later, maybe a week, and said, no, is Kate interested in directing? And Brittany calls me. And I was like, honestly, there, like you said, there was a lot going on, and plus young kids, plus that's a lot of pressure. I live with an incredible director. I didn't want to fall on my face. But as I was politely declining the second time, aforementioned husband runs in the room and he goes, absolutely, yes, you do this. You will just kick the butt of this. You will kick it up and down the street. And so with his advice and with Brittany's advice, I said, okay, I guess here we go. And it was, I was right. It was a lot of work and I was very tired.
So you did or didn't have directing on the, even in the back of your mind, maybe?
No, I really hadn't. The thing is I was never thinking about it because I more or less was shadowing Mike for like 10 years. I was watching every step of it. I was near him on set. I would hear him talk about it. I hear prep. And I was aware of the level of work and preparation you need to put in to do this right. And I didn't want to do any less than that. And so I always thought, maybe when the kids are grown, or maybe when things slow down, but life never lets you decide when a thing happens. And so I guess it would be disingenuous to say I never thought about it, but I didn't think it would happen this soon.
So how was the experience?
I loved it. I'm obsessed. I immediately took like the big, I imagine it like this big tanker ship that I have been putting into acting harbor for so long. And I spun it like a pirate. And I'm like, zoom, 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 zoom. What else can I direct? What else can I do? What other stories can I create and tell? It was an immediate perfect fit.
And we're going to hit on another one of those here in just a little bit. But getting it, so when you now know that you're getting into the land of VHS and like, as I mentioned, like, what does that mean to you? Like, are there rules that you have to abide by? Like, are the parameters at least somewhat set, or is it still just blown wide open?
VHS loves to say that they don't have a lot of rules for their filmmakers. I was a type A student. And so I set myself some rules. I believe that art thrives with strong boundaries. The tighter a space you can create for that kinetic energy, the hotter that energy gets. The more room you have, the more kind of sort of disparate feelings you have, the energy can't bounce off of anything. And so I knew Josh had said it's kind of sci-fi, it's kind of body horror. And I did what I've always done. I turned to Mike and I was like, will you collaborate on this with me? Because, you know, he's the peanut butter to my jelly. And we talked about what I wanted to do and what themes I wanted to hit on, what movies I loved. And he created this story for me to play in, which has a great structure and was an incredible support system. And then I knew, because I'm a huge found footage fan, like all the way back to Blair Witch, it's one of my favorite types of horror, that I had felt that filmmaking has been using found footage as a solution for budget issues recently, as opposed to the thing you choose as an artistic choice. It's like saying, I'm drawing with crayons because I can't afford oil pastels. But if you're drawing with crayons, you should make a crayon drawing. You should still choose crayons. And so I was excited to use VHS tapes and found footage style to elevate a story I wanted to tell.
I love the look. Like, I still have VHS. I still have videotapes around. I have laser discs around. It's like, I like the idea of lost media, if you want to call it that. Like, but because each one of them has that very specific look, you know, that doesn't exist after it's gone. No.
And well, one of the things we did was after, so I shot the movie on 4K, like Alexa cameras with beautiful lens packages and full like electronic equipment. But then when we were done with the edit, I had them transfer it to a VHS tape and then transfer it back to digital so that I could get the right look. And I own that VHS tape of my VHS.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kate Siegel.
You know, I feel like, especially when you're talking about sci-fi, like, you know, setting it in the desert, like that offers a lot already. And then this idea of time, which I get upset. That's my favorite. If that's a genre of movie, that's my favorite.
Couldn't agree more. Time and the fact that it doesn't exist and how does it, it changes and moves. It's completely relative. And people are like, yes, well, that's a very high concept mathematical idea. And I'm like, absolutely not. Ask a five-year-old how long an hour is, and then ask a 55-year-old how long an hour is. Time is 100% relative. Even the thing about how long an hour lasts when you are creating art versus sitting in church, like it's for every person, time is relative. And I love that because it's horrific.
Yeah. It's horrific. You get to play around with it. The amount of not arguing and not really debating, but the conversation that you can have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same kind of conversation if you ask somebody, you know, what do you believe happens after you die? You know, you just have all these, like, again, just so many directions you can get away with, you know, when you're storytelling with that type of a...
I don't mean to get esoteric, but at the intersection, I believe, of religion and science is time. You know, when I got sober, you have to have a higher power if you're doing the steps. And I could not get there with God. I just couldn't. And their whole thing is it doesn't have to be God. It could be anything. And so I just substituted in time. And so you have this thing, like you give it to time. You give it time. And it's true. Like if you have an overwhelming craving for alcohol, in my mind, instead of thinking I'm going to give it up to God, I just think, why don't I give it some time? And time becomes this very, like you can feel it, a higher power that is immediate and doesn't require a lot of outside faith.
That's beautiful. That is. Yeah. Further in on that, you know, as we're talking sci-fi, of course, then you know, introduce the idea of aliens or shadow people and geez, I'm just thinking of the stuff at the end there with the little, nanobots, you know, just the way those are like, I don't know what you know, with Mike writing the story, how much can you say about like where that idea of all this came from? Is it built on lore or, you know, is this?
No, entirely made up in his head. And then because one of the things we talked about is that we didn't want the aliens to be threatening, that the aliens weren't the dangerous thing. She's actually the foreign species that's causing all the problems. She's the monster. And the alien is sort of a DoorDash driver. Like he's been sent down to Earth to pick up one extra spider and an octopus to bring back. And when he comes back, it's like if you and I opened our trunk and it was full of ants. And it was like, oh my God, that's disgusting. What has happened? And the nanobots are doing their best and the aliens are doing their best and Haley's doing her best. And that's the horrible thing that happens.
That's a great take on the story. And now that you've done it and now that it's there and it's beautiful. And I love the story and I love the little iguana.
He's a grouchy dinosaur.
Grouchy dinosaur. Okay. Iguana almost counts as a modern day tiny dinosaur. That's So what, you know, now that you've got it in your mind, like, do you know what kind of director you want to be from here?
I do. I think there is this Bermuda Triangle, and the points of that Bermuda Triangle are Guillermo del Toro, Terrence Malick, and Ridley Scott.
Okay.
And then in the center of that is me.
What is the, like, so we're talking about the Venn diagram here. Like, what are the qualities that meets in the middle with those three?
What I like to make is weird feminist shit. And I know that sounds kind of glib, but it's weird because it's going to flirt with the avant-garde, sort of the way Terrence Malick's, the visuals of a Terrence Malick is poetic in nature, and it uses visual storytelling more than heavy dialogue. Feminist means that I will always center female stories. I really am interested in telling female stories, female points of view, even like male feminists as well, but like, I'm very interested in that point of view, and shit in the sense that it's for adults. I'm not going to be making children's content. I want it to be dealing with intense issues. I want people to be able to behave like people. And I think you kind of hit all of those things, like the adult feminist sci-fi of Ridley Scott and like the avant-garde fantasy of Terrence Malick and Guillermo del Toro dealing with real human issues through a fantasy lens.
Yeah. Okay.
Does it kind of make, I feel like it makes sense.
It does. I think what my brain was trying to do was suddenly create a movie in my head that you haven't even made yet. Like, I'd want to see that already. So that's.
I think Stowaway is a really great example of what I like to do.
Okay. All right. I got that. So you said not for kids, and now I'm going to pivot here because there is something in the world for kids right now. It has nothing to do with any of this, right?
I know. God, characters revealed through contradiction. So Dark Corners is what you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Dark Corners came from a play date I was having with Chrissy Fox, who is a horror actress and creator in her own right. Our daughters are about the same age, and because they both grew up in horror households, they have an interest in that. But I noticed that my son and daughter were watching like Skibidi Toilet and Doors, and no kid that age, which is like 5 and 7, is turning on Hulu. Like, my kids are never going into a Hulu app. They're watching things on YouTube. And I just thought, there's got to be a better way. And then we thought, well, I know a lot of horror writers. And so I reached out to some of the people I know, and Chrissy did too, to create these little 5-minute horror shorts for kids. And then we reached out to some animators, and the thing started to develop its own kind of momentum. And then we got a yes from Stephen King. And
yeah, by the way, I know a lot of horror writers, .. Stephen King.
I guess that's a humble brag. But yes, Stephen King agreed to write the script that I am directing. And these horror shorts are on YouTube, and they're for everybody. There'll be a pumpkin rating system. 1 pumpkin is for the younger ones. 5 pumpkins is for teenagers and above. And they're just meant to be just lovely little bites out of the horror genre for content and kids.
Halloween episodes of shows were always my favorite episodes of any show anyway, but especially... You know, and it was a child of the 80s. So, you know, I mean, we were going to the theater to see Nightmare on Elm Street well before we probably should have.
Yes.
You know, I had the Freddy Krueger cutouts in my brother's room because I didn't want it mine, but we had it. But that was the thing, is like the idea of putting the spook back in the utes, I think.
Yes, but good scares. Like, I don't need a Skibidi Toilet. Like, let's teach them the art of the jump scare. Like, let's teach them the art of anticipation. Let's really traumatize them.
In the best way. And you wrote one, Dimples? Dimples is something you wrote? Is that right?
Dimples is actually a story that my daughter came up with me. She has this nightmare, this reoccurring nightmare, which we have since cured, of a terrible monkey that comes to her with 2 sharp, rusty knives. And she would have this dream about the monkey over and over again. And what we ended up doing, because of the power of storytelling, and because this, I also think, is the point of having kids watch horror, is it helps them be braver. We came up with a way for her to defeat the monkey. And then we turned it into a little story. She voices the little girl in this story, and I voice the mom. And Cody, my son, has a little cameo as well. And it solved her nightmare.
Awesome. Wow. Dream warriors. That was where my mind went on that.
Yes. Yeah. See, you too are inspired by Kate Siegel, director. What will she do? What won't she do? How will she do it? No one knows.
Without having seen any of these yet, and just the stills, and Miss Crow, I think was the name of it. Like, I love that style of animation.
It's been such a dream in this journey to get to know Alana Pierce as an artist. I loved Alana as a YouTuber. I loved her as a journalist, as a game developer, but seeing her as a writer and actress, I feel very lucky to have caught her early on.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kate Siegel.
So, and then there's still more.
Dear God, there's more?
Damned if you do.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about this. The film follows a group of teenage friends who sold their souls to the devil.
Like you do.
Great start, hoping yes. It involves some kind of fiddle or a guitar playoff towards the end.
Oh, I wish. It does sort of. I don't want to spoil that. But yeah, this is a horror comedy, like in the sweet spot of the horror comedies we all love, where there's gore and then there's laughs and it's very high, like high octane good time.
Oh, I like the part where it does say comedy because, you know, that gets lost sometimes. I mean, even when we look back on The House of Usher, because there's comedy in that. I mean, so much of, especially your character, I mean, there is comedy in that. But it's also not a word that gets associated with you right off the bat.
No, Camille in Fall of the House of Usher was kind of my first time doing comedy. And I loved it so much. Like, it just became something I wanted to scratch at. And so when Damned If You Do came across my desk, I immediately jumped at that to be like, oh, I'd like to go do more comedy, please.
So does it feel like it comes a bit natural? Do you have to, is it a different muscle, I guess is what I'm getting to?
It's a different muscle. Like, I consider myself kind of funny in real life. Like, I can drop a little quip or make a dinner party giggle, but it's a different skill to then be able to translate that on film. So I do my best. I think of myself as pretty successful at that. I'm still learning.
Look forward to seeing that one. And you mentioned it. I look forward to seeing The Life of Chuck, which has nothing to do with horror, of course. And you guys meeting back up with the king himself.
That's right.
What a cool story. Like, I haven't read it, but I know a lot about the story.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the idea of time. And
it's about time. It's also, I love this idea that it's a story about a man who is completely insignificant and also the most important man in the universe.
How about that? And congratulations, because, you know, already the people, I guess, have seen that and the accolades. I mean, that's got to feel nice.
It's beautiful. I love watching Mike finally get that warm attention he deserves from the film community at large and not just horror fans.
So much going on.
I'm so tired just hearing you say it out loud. My God.
Do I need a Kate Siegel subscription channel? I think that's what happens at this point. That's what's next.
Yeah, just like and subscribe to my life, please.
I believe I already have. Thank you for the entertainment.
I was thinking about you and I was thinking about music because I know that's your focus. And there was something I wanted to tell you about, which was when I was in sound design for Stowaway, which is so important to that story because it's a tension creator. I didn't expect this of myself, but I was standing there conducting it like music, where I'd be like, bring up the buzz, the buzz, the buzz, the buzz, the buzz, cut. Or I'd be like, okay, slowly build the thing. And the way that it felt like painting with music, I thought you might have something to say about because of your like deep love of the music world.
I mean, it's the involuntary things that happens. My brother-in-law, he's a bit younger. He's gone through just some like a divorce and they've got a kid and, you know, the whole thing. So he's in the shit of it right now. And we had a spare ticket to a festival that was happening over the weekend. My son, you know, was going, it's Louder Than Life, lots of heavier stuff, you know, I think Korn was headlining and all this stuff, but, and he was just sitting there and he goes, oh, I've never been to a festival. He goes, I don't think I've ever seen a concert. I don't really listen to music too much. And I thought, well, that's something that might be very helpful to you right now. And maybe not this type of music, maybe so. And you should go. And I was telling him, I said, because, you know, we all know, like, just the involuntary things that it makes us do, not just the emotions.
Yes.
Which that's where it starts, are those emotions, you know, but those conducting moments. I mean, as I'm standing in here, you know, working on my nightly show or something like that, and the music's going and anybody can walk in finding me in any bent up, you know, state.
And there's something about that. I'm like that when I direct too, like when I'm watching the monitor. This is so weird, but I had what everyone jokingly called an emotional support mop, which was some mop that I'd found in a corner. And it's one with those like flat bases, like a Swiffer. And I would lean on it back and forth, like it was a mic stand, and just like hold it and pull, like I was literally steering a ship. But it has to do with the musicality when that when that melody moves you, when rhythm is going to get you. You know what I'm saying?
I'm really interested. So we're going to be, my wife and I are going to be in LA in a couple of weeks on the 15th. It's our 10th anniversary and we're just driving around, you know, the coastal drive, that whole thing. But we're going to stop in LA and just hang out for a day. But the next day, she's taking me to the sound room in the desert.
Yes. Yes. The Integratron. Yes.
Integratron. Thank you. Because that was mentioned in the in your movie.
Absolutely. I want to shoot in Joshua Tree for that reason. There's this whole thing that is on the cutting room floor from the idea that maybe will become something bigger later about Joshua Tree and about the ley lines at the Integratron. And also there's this weird thing where 29 Palms is a military town and Joshua Tree is all of your like space hippies. And they meet in the middle. And it is so interesting. I need to go back out there and film more.
Yeah, she's been there. And then she's like, I have to take you to the Integratron. So speaking of sound and the way, you know, what it can do, I'm really interested to see how that's going.
You also should check out Noah Purfoy's Found Art Museum.
Okay.
It's like you drive in the middle of nowhere as everything is in Joshua Tree. The Noah Purfoy, there's a phrase that I'm not remembering right now, but he has taken garbage and like scrap metal and wood and like old pieces of furniture and has created the most incredible art installation. And it's most of the time it's completely empty and you just kind of walk around it going, holy shit.
Okay. On the schedule. So can't do that. Congrats on everything. Seriously, this has been a lot of fun as always.
You too. Talk to you soon.
My thanks to Kate. VHS Beyond is out. And of course, you can look forward to Damned If You Do, Dark Corners, Life of Chuck, and so much more from Kate's world. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. Again, it's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 a week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review. While you're at it, after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Paul Simon, Elvis Costello, Waxahachie, Sonic Youth, David Bowie, The Cranberries, Des Ray, Nina Simone, Fatboy Slim, Abibio Sound Machine, Phoebe Bridgers, Hayes Carl, Beastie Boys, The National, The Dare, The Who, Led Zeppelin, Kathleen Edwards, Carole King, and my interview with Steve Lukather of Toto. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm on this like tremendous VHS press thing and I'm just having so much fun talking about filmmaking and just knowing that it was coming to you. I was like, oh, okay, a conversation. Here we go.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.